Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking about the stages of a relationship. Have you ever thought, so we are at stage what now in this thing that we are doing? We're talking about stages of relationships because I feel like, we don't really know what happens. We just, you know, we dive into it and sometimes we skip a few stages, and then when we skip these stages later on, it is a calamity. So, ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewetike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka. Okone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoiri nawa. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye. All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. So I'm going to start by telling you guys a little story. Small kashona. So once upon a time, there was a lady. Her name is Jemima. Omaima. Her name is Omaima. So check. Omaima was an Egyptian girl, right? So she grew up in Egypt, Egypt. And it said that they were very poor or less fortunate. Let's say less fortunate. They were on the less fortunate side and they grew up, around their very, very abusive dad. And that was the family dynamics. So at some point, right, Omaima's mother decides that, you know what, Mina, I don't want my children to grow up in this situation. At that point, she had two children. I want my children to grow up in this situation. So I'm going to run away, because at that point, it wasn't really a thing of, you can just, you know, call a social worker, talks to your habibi. Habibi just stops automatically. It was never like that. It was more of, if you don't obey your husband, even if your husband is wrong, even if your husband is beating, even if your husband is doing all the things under the covers, right? Then you will be stoned to death like Muslim women. Mutu. And so that was the dynamics in which they found themselves in. And at that point, Omaima was still so young and her mom was trying her level best, but the level best was also not coming, and it was not giving, and it was just difficult, and everything was basically just a mess. So at some point, they decided to run away from dad now, because dad was aggressive and dad was just not dadding. And they said that there was a form of abuse from, there was sexual abuse, there was physical abuse, emotional abuse. And then there was also this, financial captivity kind of abuse where you can't leave because you don't have anything, and you can't leave because if you have to pay back my money that I paid your family or bride price or what. So it was just a mess. So they moved to another town. And let's say now, I don't remember the town because, you know, I was reading the story a long time ago. I was reading it in the afternoon, so I forgot the story, which I forgot the name. So they moved to another town, and in this town, this is now where, Umaima and her sister and her mom could eventually now calm down a little bit, and then they can de-traumatize and they can calm their spirits and so forth. So, but then this town in itself was hunger. There was too much hunger there, because also this is a single mom that ran away from her husband with two children. So she has nothing, right? So she's basically starting over. And it's not like in Africa there's okay, not even in Africa. Let's make it a world thing. It's not like in the world there are lots of opportunities, you know, especially in conservative communities or communities that don't look, that frown upon divorce. They frown upon women just being roaming around by themselves without a man. They don't believe in those independent woman things. They don't really check those things like that. Good evening. Ooh, that was loud. All right. So, at this point, Umaima's mom was now trying. Yeah, she's trying to find a little something to feed the girls and herself. And she's trying, but there's just nothing that's coming up, right? And then she decided that eventually one day she's like, you know what? This is not going to work. Let me just maybe go into the escort business. And by then the children were young, like Umaima was 10 and the younger sister was around 6. So Umaima would stay home with the little sister while the mother went out, you know, for the escort business, the nighttime duties. And the mother would come back, you know, sometimes beaten and bruised, you know, because I don't know, some people like it rough, or some people just don't respect other people's jobs, even though it's not a dignified job, that one. Prostitution, it's not the job that anybody says, oh my goodness, I just want to be a prostitute when I grow up. Nobody says that. How? Not unless you grew up in a situation where you absolutely think this is normal. Then we understand why you would think like that. But all of us, the rest of us that haven't really been exposed to prostitution like that, where prostitution is a means of income, we don't really think that. We don't think like, oh my goodness, I just want to grow up and then be roaming the streets and waiting for people to come and have coitus with me and give me money. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to put my pom-pom to work. Nobody thinks like that. We don't think like that, girl. And if you're out there thinking like that, it's not supposed to be like that. Now you're supposed to be thinking about school. You're supposed to be thinking about a hustle. You're supposed to be thinking about other things, but we don't judge. We talk and we don't judge. We listen. We don't judge. We judge with an undertone. We judge with criticism. We judge with a side eye. We judge like that, but we will not openly judge you with our mouths. We'll judge you with our body language. We're like, this is man. Yeah, that's how we're going to judge you. So, Umaima's mom would go out in the middle of the night, and then she would come back. And the problem with prostitution in itself, what I've figured out from all the stories that I've read, you know, newspaper articles and interviews and documentaries, though the thing that I figured with prostitutes, right, their line of work, is that they have various clients, and various clients have various needs. Now, these various needs, right, are not always orthodox, and also some of the needs are not always legal, you know? So somebody just wants to, it's kama role play, or whatever, or some people just want to straight up just violate you, straight up just violate you and not even pay you, you know, for your, not even pay you for your work. And they will say things like, what you gonna do? Beat me up? What you gonna do? Are you gonna beat me up? No, you're not. So, yeah. So basically, that is what happens within the field. And it's just tough and it's intense. And it's no place for a young lady or a young man. It's no place for you guys. It's no place for nobody. But I guess it's because of circumstances and situations. That's why we still have our girls and boys in the field. So sometimes she would come bruised because a customer decided to have their cake and eat it too. And sometimes she'll come beaten up. And sometimes she'll come back on a good night. She'll come back with the dinero, the guala, the guaps, the money. And sometimes there are just no customers. So we always judge the prostitute, but we don't judge the client. Kucha, what type of person is this that would rather pay for it? What type of person is this? Sometimes we have insecurity issues and sometimes we don't know how to talk to the opposite gender. So we'd rather buy, or sometimes we just want a good time. We don't want funny things like, ah, oh, you must call me 10 times in the day and buy me flowers. You must remember my birthday and Valentine's Day. You must remember Katsinga Day and you must remember 26 August. I must get gifts for 26 August. Sometimes you just don't want that kind of drama. Sometimes, right? You just want to lay pipe. Sometimes you just want to lay pipe and it is what it is. And those are the clients. And sometimes you're a serial killer and you are just out there looking for prostitutes that look like your mom. Because how? I don't understand. Okay, I do understand. It's because of childhood trauma. Some of them were so traumatized by these serial killers. Some of them were so traumatized by their mothers and they hated their mothers, but they couldn't express the hate that they had towards their mothers. They were disgusted by their mothers. And then when they grew up, they become serial killers. And the people that, the women that they are targeting all look like their mothers. Eh? Like I said, right? There is a healthy way and an unhealthy way to have relationships with children. Part of the unhealthy way to have relationships with children is by traumatizing them and traumatizing their childhood. Now, the problem is that we don't have a blueprint as parents, as adults, as to what exactly is going to traumatize my kid and what is not going to traumatize my kid. But there are just some things that we know that this one is going to be traumatizing, like bringing a number of men into your home and your children are just exposed to these people. Like every time a new boyfriend, and the person is always moving in with you. Guys, change. But apparently, you know, like it's apparently like that. So sometimes that is traumatic because now your child grows up thinking that it's okay to hop between men. Because children, remember this, dear parents out there, children are self-centered, ne? Children, you can judge me all you want for saying this, but children are selfish and self-centered. And this selfish and self-centered nature of theirs, right, is extended to even their thoughts. They will never ever think that there is something wrong with you. And that is why you are doing this to them. They will always think that it is something wrong with them. And that is why you are doing this to them. So it's always me, 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 me. It's always me, me, me with children. So that's why we say be careful what you do around children, because they take it in a sense of me. You guys are getting divorced because you guys hate each other's guts now. And the child is like, it's most probably because of me. You're like, oh, Samantha, this is not about you. But children are like that. You guys are fighting. The child is like, it's because you guys don't love me. So you're like, how? Like, as we are fighting our own things, eh? As we are arguing our own things, but it's because of me. Is it because I was born? You're like, ow, eh? No, man, it's not about you. But children can't really digest and comprehend that one. They always think that they are the unlovable ones and they are the ones that are the bad apple. They are the ones that came to ruin things. They always think like that. So when you remember your children, remember that your children are self-centered. So everything that you do to them or with them, right, it will always come back, bouncing back to me, me, me. So part of the me, me, me is you take your child to ice cream and your child doesn't think like, oh my goodness, mom also just wanted to go out or dad also just wanted to go out and have ice cream. They always think that dad loves me so much that he's taking me out for ice cream and mom loves me so much. That's why he's taking me out for ice cream. That is exactly how children think. So it is in a good way and in a bad way. Good evening. Yes. What's up?
It's cool, cool.
It's cool and calm. So it's a pasalam.
Everything is calm.
It's calm and nice. So nandi.
Everything is nice. I'm Pongolian.
Upanjiliman. Upawulia.
Pandiliman.
Ulinarter. Wakalapinyan.
Oh, my country, my Shilongo,
oh, ho.
You can get coming out on sea.
Watch like a relaxer.
Very relaxed.
Oh, umnanti. That's very nice, very nice, very nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are you doing for the evening? Be fair, atupopi, the different stages of a relationship. So what do you think the different stages of a relationship is? Atuta meke penya ano siya aturi mo koran. Na, na.
Different stage of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the relationship in our stage.
In a stage, in a kare in a stage, eh? I'm going to get a 4-year relationship.
I
can give you one. Tangwa mwimon. So we start with physical attraction.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Next.
Physical attraction, then the next is engagement.
Oh, you just jump straight to engagement. I know where you propose on. Hmm.
Yeah, I propose. And here you go.
Hey, sikirane. I know where you in your relationship you just jump straight to engagement.
No.
Hey, you just. How many times have you been engaged, Vakwe?
Let's go there.
Mm.
From proposing a new...
Yeah, I'm listening attentively, my dear. I'm here. I'm here. I'm listening. Okay, so you start with physical attraction. When you say physical attraction, we say that you see the person, you see that this is someone that you like, you see that this is someone that you could, you know, possibly have a thing with.
Yeah.
And then you approach, right? Yeah. And then you guys start conversating and you guys start talking and you start communicating and maybe even spending time to with each other, you know. You guys start dating. And in this dating phase, you are most probably also still talking to other people because how? How can you just commit like that, nenge? Yeah, so you are talking to other people still. How? But you are not loyal. It's not nice here. You're not loyal. Eh? Does the other person know that you are still talking to other people, my friend?
Yeah, that is.
Mm.
Yeah, but let me quickly listen, man. I'm not the, I did not start from the beginning.
Oh, there's nothing really. We are just talking about Umaima. But we, okay, it's okay if you want to listen.
We are talking about what?
Umaima.
Umaima.
Yeah. Not Umaima. Umaima. Her name is Umaima.
Oh, the person's name.
The person's name is Umaima, my dear. It's crazy.
Oh.
It's rough. It's tough. Her name is Umaima.
Umaima.
Or my ma.
My ma.
Oh, my dear. Oshonganga, can you?
Oh.
It's there, it's there. Kalishije to know her. Aye. My dear, it's a name from an Egyptian girl. Her name is Kucha, she's Egyptian. So.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, so we're just talking about her life, really. Mm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much for calling.
All right. Maybe it's Willem.
I know it's Willem, my dear.
Oh, yeah.
Tamu enjoy yara. Mulyala mo Namibia yepeni.
Kujala mo Namibia mashirongo.
Mashirongo, tweshirwila. I die for this country.
We die for this country.
We die for this country, my dear. She no.
Yes. Oh, today we are calling in. The other week we are not getting through. What is going on?
Oh, you were not getting through.
Mm.
I don't know why you were not getting through.
No.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah, but we are here now. Don't worry. Don't worry about the past. You like the past too much.
Yeah, but the past is past. Now we are
moving forward.
We're moving forward.
Shili shili. She went in a villain. Sharp sharp. Alrighty. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If you guys would like to also come into the conversation, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. So, Umaima. Like, you know, when you say it in Oshindonga, Umaima. Umaima. So we are trying to Englishize it as much as we can, because how we cannot butcher other people's names just like that. So her mother would come back occasionally. You know, we were also talking about prostitution a little bit, which I don't do it, but her mother would come back occasionally, and she was making okay means per se for somebody that was doing the job that she was doing. And they got a little place, and they would just stay there. The mother would go out, and There was no school things for Umaima. There was no school things. There was no what. Then they lived in that town for about 6 more years, right? About 6 more years. And at the time, it was in the late 60s, that one. So at the time, right, it was in the late 60s, 70s, 80s. Jemima was born in 1968. So she's a senior now, but she's a stone cold fox. So it was in the late 80s, you know. So in the late 80s, at some point, Jemima, let's not put age. Let's not put age, because if you put age, then you'll be like, but it doesn't. No, don't put age. Okay. I got my numbers incorrect, but let me tell you the story. So Jemima turned 16 at some point, and in those countries at the time, there was also most, you guys were allowed to get, you were allowed to have child brides, right? So even somebody that is like 12, you can marry them, 13, you can marry them, 14, 15, 16, 17, you know, you can marry them. So at the age of 16, Umaima started looking like a stone cold fox. She was stunning. Legs for days, hair for days, beauty. She looked like she should be a supermodel. And eventually she did become a model at some point, but she was so beautiful. And there was a day where the mom was now, you know, still working, And Jemima had to take something to her mother, and where her mother was standing better at the street corner. I don't know. If your mom is a prostitute and she says, oh no, bring me my jacket. Like, do you go to her? Do you say that you're going to her office or? I don't know. So she, Omaima had to take something to her mom. And then when she got there, she found, the mom having drinks with, a potential client. And this potential client literally took interest in Omaima immediately. Like, whoa, I don't want you, old lady. I want your daughter. And the mother was like, oh no, but you can't have my daughter. My daughter is still young. And my daughter is what? And my daughter is what? And my daughter is what? The man was like, no, I'll pay double. I'll pay triple. I'll pay three times as much, you know? And the mother was like, okay. You know, but at the time that this was happening, Omaima had not had coitus at all. So she was still a flower. She had not been deflowered. So the mother took an opportunity, you know, to say like, hey, better life for Eune. You know, better life is this one. So, okay. So the man is like, okay, no, but I want to have, you know, a thing with her and I want to do this. And then basically Omaima's mom sold her for the night and she would be sitting outside and then they go into the room, they do their thing and he pays and then they go home. And then, but he took like a real fancy. He took like a real, real fancy in Omaima. And the next day he was also back again, you know, like, no, I can give you a better life in the United States of America. And, you know, you, like maybe, you know, yeah. And then by then this man was like 60 years old and she was 16, right? So, Omaima's mom was like, yeah, it doesn't really sit well with me that, you know, my daughter has been deflowered, you know, because culturally she's supposed to stay a virgin until she gets married and not unless you marry her. This man is like, yes, yes, I will marry Omaima now. And then they got married in Egypt. They got married and then off they went to the United States. She's 16 by then. True. She's 16 by then. And then like when they got back to the States, they said that they were okay for like a year, but the man was what, and he was abusive and all of that and all of that. And then Omaima decided that no, she's going to run away. By then she was, I think it was easier to like get citizenship or green card or whatever. At that time. So she decided that no, she's filing for a divorce, and then she got a divorce, and then Omaima just started like just running wild. You know, a 17-year-old running wild. Because you now don't have anything at this point, right? As long as you're not being abused and you're not being white and you're not being white. So she goes and then she lives on the streets for a little while, and then she starts frequenting bars and drinking. And now, you know, like, you know, people, our brothers and sisters from the upper part, you know, of Africa, you know, they don't really dabble in those things like alcohol and, you know, sleeping around and stuff. So, or it's frowned upon. It's frowned upon in all African cultures, but not like they do it, especially with a girl child. Okay. So. She now starts, you know, frequenting bars to catch rich guys, you know, to catch, because this is what she knows, because that is how she met the first person that she has ever been with. That is how she knows. So she meets a couple of guys. She dates one for 3 months. She moves in quickly. She dates one for 4 months. She moves in quickly and annoy every single person that she has met from the age of 17 all the way to 23. Has just been bad, 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 bad. Okay, so she's jumping from man to man, from man to man, from man to man. Zero stages. Zero stages of a relationship. The reason I'm talking about this one is because I want you guys to get a picture. I want you guys to get a picture of what Omaima is doing. I want you guys to get a picture of the fact that this is not a person that is going through the talking phase, the commitment phase, and then getting to know each other, and then honeymoon phase, and then there's nothing like that with Omaima. Omaima is just straight for the kill, straight for the kill. And At this point, Omaima had been married 4 times. Imagine the first husband, the second husband, she has been married 4 times. How? I don't know. No, she, okay, not married, but has been in like cohabitation relationships, because, you know, at that time, there in that other country, she's literally still a minor. So this is just what she was going up with until one day she's in a bar and she sees this red covert. Covert. It's covert. I don't know, man. It's a car. So covert. 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 Ah, English. So she sees this red covert coming up and driving up, and she's in the bar, and then she sees, like, at the time, Bera, that is a very expensive car. So she's like, okay, let me get my tits right. You know, let me pull up my skirt or whatever. You know, thin waist and all of that. Beautiful. Oh, Omaima is beautiful, guys. When I tell you guys, gorgeous. I looked at her pictures. I was like, yeah. Like, I understand by gents for falling, because how? Hey, you cannot have all these beautiful features like this. Hey, like, how can you just be wonderfully made? In the image of God. How can you just be so beautiful and so wonderfully made? But anyways, so she gets herself ready and she positions herself waiting for the person to come out of the car. So Bill comes out of the car. His name is Bill. This guy, Bill, comes out of the car, and at the point he's like a 52. At the point, he's like 52 and he's widowed, and he's wearing these red boots, like this red leather, this expensive. He's wearing expensive leather boots, and he walks into the bar, and it's that time, that Texas life, you know, cowboys and robbers. Bank, what? Cowboys and robbers? Yeah, cowboys style. So he comes in, and at first glance, you know that this person is moneyed. This person is not attractive like that, but his cologne is heating up the whole entire bar. So you know that this person is moneyed, because if your cologne is heating up the whole entire bar and you sprayed 6 hours ago, we understand. Otafistana. So Bill walks in. And Bill goes to grab a drink, and he's sitting at the bar, and he's talking with a friend of his, and they are conversing and they are talking. And it just so happened that the day that they were talking, the things that they were talking about was money related. So Omaima is just hovering, you know, she's hovering, she's helicoptering. She's hovering just around to eavesdrop on the conversation, you know, to hear, okay, what are they talking about? And can I really, you know, go in for the kill here? Can I really just, you know, is this a potential target? So this is what she's trying to figure out. So she's making herself very visible, you know? So she's just going that side where Bill is, and then she's ordering a drink, and then she's making eye contact, and she's being seductive. But Bill was not interested at the time, because they were busy talking money things, you know, like, no, that other deal, we have to do this and we have to do that. That's why, guys, don't go and talk your things in restaurants and just have Zoom meetings, because the people that are sitting there, they are there for you guys. They are there to catch you guys. And then you don't even know. Yeah, we just met in Mug and Bean. I was there at work. Me, nah, I'm a professional. Yeah, I was there at work. I was targeting you. So they were talking, and Bill was not noticing Jemima. Oh, Omaima. Hey, Jemima, Omaima. Bill was not noticing. So at some point, Omaima started playing pool. She stacked up the pool table, and then she comes to Bill, and she's like, would you like to join me? You know, would you like to join me, or are you scared? And then he's like, what? I ain't scared of no little lady. That's how it starts, because, oh my goodness, she's such a little lady. She's so cute. She's so cool. She's so what? Like, she's so timid and small and tiny and all of that. So they start playing pool. But she's being very, very seductive. And also, this is the point where Bill notices how gorgeous she is. He's like, wow, actually, whoa, Like, I didn't see you there when I was talking about money here. I didn't see you because you're supposed to be focused when you're talking about money. You're not supposed to be loitering. Your eyes are not supposed to be jumping on tits and booties and stuff. No, you're supposed to be focused because, I mean, come on, it's money. It's dinero we're talking about. So he's like, I didn't notice you there. Gosh, you know, I almost did the whole thing, but you know, my goodness, you are gorgeous. You are gorgeous. You are gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And you know, he takes a liking to her like any other man. All the men in the bar also want Omaima because she's just, you know, Omaima. They start playing pool, and also she's very seductive. So she's doing everything, you know, the art of seduction. She's doing everything in the book to make sure that hook, line and sinker is happening today. And you know, I don't really know how to play. Can you come and teach me how to shoot? You know, and then he would tower over her, you know, tower over her, and then grab the pool stick, and then position it, and then they position it, and then Omaima would just shake her bum there next to his genitalia, and then just push up on her, and then she would say something like, "Oh, this is so soft." Like, oh, this is so sexy. Like, And you're like, what? People have real Mac game, guys. Women have back game, huh? If they want, I guess. Like, yeah, women have Mac game, but like, yo, if she wants you, she wants you. She'll get you, especially if she looks like that, guys. Ah, yeah. All of us, we're like, ah, yeah. We understand all my, And Bill falls for it. He likes her. And just that night, they decide that they're going to go home together. And this is all Omaima's idea, right? Like, no, we're just going to go home together, you know. I was just traveling through Texas. I was really just going to LA. But, you know, since you're here, I think that, you know, we can see where this goes. Or we can spend the night, you know. Not like a prostitute. More like a girlfriend type of thing, but she came fast, right? So the first day she goes nga, and then they go and sleep over there, Okwatorwa. They go and sleep there, they do the dirty, and Mbera, the dirty was just so nanti. Bill is in love now. And also, one of the things that I think I omitted is the fact that Omaima comes from the times where Somalian, Egyptian, Ethiopian women, they used to get circumcised. So it was like, so just let that dawn on you. So with female circumcision, right? It's like they sew the hole closed. Okay. It's only supposed to be opened. I don't know why they have to sew it closed if there's a hymen, but you know, people's culture, my dear. You cannot really judge anybody for their culture and for their things. But hey. That one was globally contested, that one. Female circumcision. Basically, they cut off all the umnandi parts. You know, uklitoris. They cut off all the umnandi parts. And then it's not giving coitus. So what happens usually with these circumstances is that coitus now officially becomes terribly painful for the woman because she's sewed shut, you know. So every single time it tears and it's what. So it becomes uncomfortable to women. But it is said that for the gentleman, it's like ogrepa, bro. It's like ogrepa. It's like that tight knit community that you come from. Woo! It's like that tight knit. Apparently, Zumnanti. It's like that tight knit community that you come from. It's like getting a hug. It's not the swimming things that you guys are used to hear. It's like you are in a sweater. A vole, you know, a nice small vole that's holding onto your body. So apparently that is the satisfaction that these men from these countries experience with their circumcised wives, that it is always spectacular because it's always nandi, it's small, it's Yeah, like that. So I'm guessing that this is the superpower that she has in a country that has never seen this. So I'm guessing that this is the superpower that she has, right? Because it's always Umnandi. She's always a virgin forever. Even if she has gone through 20 people, she's a virgin forever. Something like that. Because it's most now sewn shut and it's burnt and it's so, but it is extremely nice for the gentleman, but it is excruciating for the woman. And this is where the trick comes, or where we can understand the psychology behind it. So if you picture this, that every single time you have coitus, it's like somebody's violating you, then will there ever be a day that you actually don't feel violated? No. Even if it is as gentle as it comes, or even if it's as rough as it comes, there will never be a day that you feel like you are actually having fun. And that is why I think that is why she reacted the way she reacted. And also how she jumps from partner to partner, because she calls all the partners, all the partners that she has been with, she calls it rape. Like, she says, like, no, they were raping me. And we understand marital rape. But what about the day that you went willingly? Like, there was no fun in that. And she says, like, no, it was rape. It was rape. All of it was just rape for her, because it was excruciatingly painful. And at some point, you know, you thug it out because you are here for survival most. So you thug it out because you want the survival and you are pretending and all of this. And then one day you just snap, because the thing is painful and it's not going down the way you thought it was supposed to be going down. And also you don't get accustomed to it. You don't get accustomed to tearing and shredding. And also there are no sensations. Picture that, because we must use the lips and the clitoris and all of this, the vulva and all of this. It all has a sensation. Imagine if you didn't have any sensation whatsoever.
Get your monthly essential products for just $99 Namibian at USAVE. 10 kilogram each of Marathon White Sugar, Champion Super Maize Meal, and Bokoma Fed Cook Flour. Also 5 kilos nice rice, as well as 500 grams of grande pasta. All 5 products for only $99 Namibian. You save, I save. Yes, we all save at You Save. Get your monthly essential products for just $99 Namibian at You Save. 10 kilogram each of Marathon White Sugar, Champion Super Maize Meal. Get your monthly essential products for just $99 Namibian at You Save. 10 kilogram each of Marathon White Sugar, Champion Super Maize Meal, and Bokoma Fed Cook Flour. Also 5 kilos nice rice, as well as 500 grams of grande pasta. All 5 products for only $99 Namibian. You save, I save. Yes, we all save at You Save.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian,
passionately feeding the nation. Namib Mills,
feeding the nation. Feeding the nation. All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So this is basically Omaima's situation. So she moves in with Bill and they are dating for like 2 weeks and Bill is smitten. Bill is smitten. So they meet and then they start living together on day 2. They start living together on day two. After 2 weeks, he's like, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. You was just so much fun and you just a treat. And then a month later, you know, he's like, oh my goodness, you know, let me just do nice things for you. And, you know, they're just so in love. And we're like so jealous out here. Like, oh, wow. Oh, mom, I found a man. A man that loves her. Oh, my goodness. Oh, get my mini. Mm-hmm. And the picture of Bill and Omaima is the typical picture, you know, the African girl with the senior guy. Yeah. He's not like, there's nothing in the books that says that, oh, Bill was a catch, or Bill was attractive, or Bill was a stone cold fox. Everybody just talks about how beautiful she was and how young she was at the age of, at this point, she was 23 years old. So, they date, they start living together on day two. She didn't even have much to go and collect wherever she was living, in the motel or whatever, or the guest house or the halfway kitchen, wherever she was staying. There was no collecting, nothing. It was more of like, okay, you can just buy me new things because these things that I'm having are old anyways. She didn't have a car. She didn't have a house. She didn't have nothing. So she just moved in, like, netswo. So it started with, I don't have anything to wear today. And Bill would go and buy, and Bill would walk around with his young, pretty little thing, you know. And I think that at this point, Bill was just, obsessed with the fact that somebody this young and this attractive could actually be interested in him. Because, you know, we all have our inferiority complexes, and, you know, we all have our insecurities. So at this point, it is said that Bill was just so smitten by the fact that she's so young, she's so gorgeous, she is so wow, and she chose him, she wants to be with him, and he's just so lucky, you know? So lucky, you know, like a back widow. So lucky. He's so lucky to have her, and to be privileged enough to go into her body, and to be privileged enough to spend time with her. And he just felt like he was being assisted, and he was being helped. And, you know, it was wow for him, you know, because it was intense. So Bill and Omaima are together, and then in the third month they were going to Las Vegas. And on their way to Las Vegas, Omaima is like, because check, Omaima's plan is most like, I must get money from this person. I must use this person. That is Omaima's plan. Like, I'm not even hiding it from you guys. I'm telling you straight, this is Omaima's plan. Omaima's plan is to chop your money. Omaima is a gold digger. Omaima is not there for love. Omaima is there for survival. Omaima is there to be sending money home to her mother and her sister. Omaima is a breadwinner. Eh? Omaima is using the pom-pom, eh? And the power of seduction and the youthfulness. She's using that to her advantage. So there's no nothing like, oh my goodness, she's just so in love, and there's nothing like that. So Omaima basically is with Bill for his money. Like, literally, she's with him for the money. And she is now at a point where, okay, how about we just go and elope, you know? When you say it in such a voice, even me, I will go and elope with you. Like, hey, baby, how about we elope, man? It's not like we have to, I'm not after money or anything. I just want to be with you for the rest of my life. And, I don't want us to spend thousands of dollars, you know, bringing my mom from Ethiopia or Egypt or wherever. And I was thinking that maybe we could just elope in a little ceremony. And we can just sign our papers and we're married, you know, and we don't have to spend so much money. And, you know, I don't have any money. I'm a house girl, you know, I'm a housewife. So I don't have any money, and I wouldn't want you to spend all that money in flying people down and flying your family down. And come on. And he is like, oh my gosh, my girl, My girl doesn't even want to abuse money. And she's such a nice girl. Oh my goodness. Yes. Let's just elope. So they eloped. They went to get married in the court quickly, quickly. And then they signed their marriage certificate in jeans. You know, they were just wearing normal clothes. Let's just go in. You know, and it is what it is. And they got married. So it said that, apparently in the second month or so, Omaima had also met, Bill's children. And they say that the kids didn't really feel Omaima. And I don't know why they didn't feel Omaima, because Omaima was putting on her best show. But apparently it was something about how she got up, right? She was too resilient. So it was Bill and Omaima and the kids. So Bill has like, a 12-year-old and, a 14-year-old and now the 23-year-old or 24-year-old. So he has three kids. So the other one is Omaima's age or older than Omaima. And then the younger ones. And this was now from the previous marriage. And, they said that they went horse riding, and at one point the horse threw Omaima off. And being thrown off by a horse is not an easy thing, guys, because you might break, you know, for us scared people, that's where we jump to. But with Omaima, she was thrown onto the ground and basically she rolled and she what? And Omaima just stood up and got back onto the horse. And they were like, no, man. She didn't limp. She didn't do nothing. She was pain resilient. So she's like, that determination kind of made her seem like she's crazy, because she didn't cry. Like, oh my goodness. Oh, why is the horse? True African. As we get up back onto the horse. She got back onto the horse, my dear. And it was her first time riding. So she mastered it immediately. Apparently there was this look in her eyes like she's determined to get it right and nothing can stop her. And that's what kind of threw everybody off about her. Like, you're too determined. You're too determined for this simple horse riding. You're too determined. So Vele, from there, the kids just don't feel her like that. And then after 3 months, Omaima and Bill, they eloped and they got married and they came back, and it was almost Christmas time things. So they decided that, oh, you know what? Bill is so excited about Omaima. You know, he's so excited about Omaima because she's a trophy, right? She's young. She's gorgeous. She's a stone cold fox, and she wants him, you know, and he's crusty and stuff. And she still chose him, and he's just lucky to be in her presence. She looks like Cleopatra. You know, vibes. So he calls his daughter and he's like, oh no, I want you guys to meet my wife. And the whole family puts up a whole WhatsApp group. At the time, they most probably wrote letters. I don't know. It was 91 at this point. So, at this point, the whole family came to set, and then they came to us like, you know, why did you marry her so quickly? And all of that. And he's like, no, if she's the one, she's the one, you know, if she's the one, you know, those people that believe in the one things, they don't believe in stages of relationships. They just believe in, let's just do this and let's just go wild and all in and let's try our best. You know, let's just do this. You know, we got this. So people were worried, you know, And then also Bill's lawyer also said that, Bill was talking a lot about changing his will. You know, this is the juicy part. Bill was talking a lot about changing his will. Bill was talking a lot about, you know, Omaima is just amazing and Omaima is the best and Omaima is what and Omaima, I think I should leave her my empire. Omaima wanke man. Omaima, Omaima. And the lawyer was like, apparently at some point he was like, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just not sitting well, you know, it's just not sitting well with, with the lawyer, like, I oshonga tunaka tuningi andora shiri shiri nebila. No, I don't. Can't she with them? So at this point, it's shaky, but Omaima and Bill are happy. They are in love. They are kissing everywhere. They are driving in their Corvette everywhere, and they're having all the fun in the world. And it's just the two of them. And you know, in the 90s, they used to take these pictures. You know, these pictures that come out of the camera, then they shake it, and then it's a picture. Wow. So there were so many pictures of them, and then they were just the village couple, the town couple, you know, the city couple. Everybody was talking about them, and everybody loved them. And Omaima was basically a supermodel. You know, when she walks, it's like Naomi Campbell is walking into the shop, my dear. When we say gorgeous, guys, you must just go look for her. When we say gorgeous, we are talking like, wow. Like, wow. So, they said that she also worked as a model for a little while, but you know, people were apparently bad, and everybody is just bad to Jemima. Omaima, everybody. Maybe I should have just said it's Jemima. At this point, because I say Jemima so many times. So everybody's just bad. Everybody's just terrible. Oh my goodness. So it's just, it's intense and it's crazy and it's what. So eventually, so they decide that, you know what? In order for us to get our families to feel us, to like us, to be at one with us, how about we hold a sakaro rokiri at our house. Now this would be a perfect opportunity, Mos. Kuchaya, like, no, let's come and have a party at our house, because usually what happens is that Bill, this was his first December with his wife. So he's like, every single holiday, I'm always just at other people's houses. I also just want to spend the holidays in my home with my wife, and my family can come to us, and then we can host them. And everybody's like, okay. Daddy, okay. And so they start planning for the Esakaro. It's Thanksgiving. In America. Esakaro, Jokiri, and yeah.
Young Namibians who have recently turned 18 years old, the time has come for you to take your first step in exercising your constitutional right of voting. Register as a voter during the supplementary registration of voters, which takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. Uphold your civic duty. Get involved. Step up for your right and register to vote.
Great news! IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA. Where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipurane ngelo wapungwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe udite okoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo, o tukwe tira o special ange, tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka, o kone ujendi finawa, nukumona oijamo ili nawa, ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatu imwe mbali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ileko mderewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace.
I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you guys doing? If you guys are still here, this is Tuesday. Tuesday, the 29th of the 7th month. We're almost in Auguste. We're almost in Auguste where we are going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate birthdays in August. So the number in studio is 083-288-401. So Omaima and Bill, they start planning for their party. And this is most now also where the family is also going to come and meet Omaima. Omaima has no family. Nobody's coming from her side at all. Nobody's coming. So it's just basically her inauguration into Bill's family. So from there, they start planning and they start doing everything. It is said that everything was going smooth. Omaima was up and down, you know, with little gift cards and what and packages and what. You know how the housewives do it. They do the most when it comes to their thing. So she's running around and she's doing everything. It was such a fast marriage and she just wanted also this to be perfect and all of that. Until one day Omaima gets arrested. She gets arrested because, right, the police pulled her over. She was driving the red Corvette. She was driving the red Corvette, and what had happened was that the police pulled her over, and when they pulled her over, they asked, "Ma'am, have you been drinking?" And she's like, yeah, I've been drinking a little bit, you know, festive season. And the people are like, "We're not buying that, okay? So, no, we're not buying that." And then they said, "Ma'am, please get out of the car." And she got out of the car, and they noticed that she was very disheveled, and she had bruising everywhere. So like bruising in terms of like scratches and blue marks. Umama, when I say looks like Cleopatra, just take it as literal black hair, light skin, Cleopatra. Okay. So her skin was showing like the blue marks and all of that. And they were like, where are you coming from? And they also know that the car is not hers, right? The car is for the husband. So, and it's a small town. It's a town. So everybody's like, so where's your husband? She's like, no, he's at home. And then, they noticed that there were so many bags in the car. And then they asked like, oh, are you traveling to anywhere? And she's like, no, I was just taking a ride and what. And she's almost a little tipsy and a little drunk and what. So they decided like, no, it doesn't sit well. You know, one of the police officers was like, there's something fishy here. I don't buy this story that we are being spun here by old missus. So let's check in the trunk. Let's check the car. So they checked the car. And when they checked the car, inside those bags, ladies and gentlemen, inside those bags, is Bill, guys. So Omaima had murdered Bill. And then had cut him up into small pieces. And Bill was like one of those big guys, like the giants, like the basketball players with body. So she had diced him up. I'm sorry, this is a little graphic. So she had diced him up and then bagged him. Basically, in all the bags that are inside that car, there were pieces of Bill everywhere. And the police was like, no. Okay, so we are not just going to arrest you. What happened? You know, she's like, no, my husband is abusive. My husband is a rapist. My husband is what? And by then her name was Omaima Nelson because it was Bill Nelson was. And the police is like, no, let's take us back to your house. We are looking like take us back to your house because this is gruesome. And they went back to the house and what they found there was exactly just, it was graphic. It was every cop's worst nightmare. Every cop doesn't want to be on duty to go and discover these types of things. So the police gets into the house and they see that the house is upside down, completely upside down. It looks like there was a hurricane that ran through it. And they also see a lot of bags. A lot of bags where it was like in every bag, there was a piece of Bill. But when I say a piece of Bill, I'm talking about somebody cutting, like, and putting an arm in one bag and then a finger in the other and, you know, like that. So as they start looking through the house, they find that there's a pot of stew. There's a pot of soup, you know, goulash. And when the police officer went closer, he noticed that there's also a hand inside there. And so it was a bad sight. It was a bad sight. And then they checked the fridge and then they found Bill's head. They found a torso. They found Bill. They found Bill scattered in many, 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 many pieces. And the weird thing is that there was not a lot of blood, you know, and one would assume that there would be a lot of blood until they got to the bathroom. And then you see these hooks, these hooks that you put animals on. Yeah. So apparently she had hung him there and then, you know, just to drain. And everybody was so shocked. Everybody was so like, whoa. So what had happened? You know, what happened to these romantic couple of hours? You know, the couple that we are looking at like, oh my God, 23, you know, angel numbers, you know, astrology, love, you know, their planets are in Venus right now. So they are going through retrograde. You know, those, like, they were the power. They were the beautiful couple, man. They made a nice couple. It looked like a trophy situation, but it was nice to look at because Bill seemed extremely happy. And now, she's most now showing the bruises. Like, yeah, he was beating me here and he was also beating me here and it was what and one, two, and they all just look like defense things. So Then there was a knock on the door. There was a knock on the door and, there wasn't a knock on the door, but, the neighbor across the street said that, we saw Miss Omaima going into the house with another gentleman. And this other gentleman just came out of the house and he just went. He just ran. So they started looking for this gentleman. And they found the gentleman. The gentleman is Omar. Apparently, Omar used to be one of Omaima's lovers. And what happened was, Omaima decided that, okay, after the altercation with Bill, Omaima decided that she's going to go to Omar's place. So when she got to Omar's place, she pulled up and Omar saw the car, but he doesn't know most anybody that drives a red Corvette. Yeah, doesn't know anybody that drives a red expensive car like that. So he just stayed in the house and she knocked. And then eventually she just got back into the car and then she just drove. But he didn't see who was at the door, right? So he just thought that, no, maybe okunongungangane. And the guy was like, no, maybe, it's debt collectors, because debt collectors most probably have expensive cars, because so he decided not to open. And then later on in the afternoon, she came again, and at this point she started banging loudly and then started calling for him, and that's when he recognized, Kusha, no, it's Omaima. And then Omaima said, like, no, I have a situation, please come help me out. And he says that Omaima's MO is basically to just seduce you and use you. And then she tried to come and seduce him, and he didn't think that what she needed help with was, you know, decapitation. He didn't think that. He thought that it was maybe a young favor. So Omaima offered him coitus, and, you know, you can have some coitus with me if you come and help me with this, because I don't have any money right now, but my money is going to come soon. Yeah, so the money that she was talking about that's going to come soon is basically Bill's will money that is going to come, because she killed Bill for the will. So they go back, and the guy walks into the house, and this is the part where the neighbors saw him walking into the house, and he came out immediately, and then he vomited outside, because the scene was just gruesome. So he came out, he vomited, and he just went off. He just didn't look back. He just went off. And that's most probably where Omaima just decided to do things herself. And that's how she just decided to cook a piece here, to deep fry this other piece, and then to hang this one, make biltong here, put in the oven. And she just decided to go wild with that one. So that's what happened, you know. And Bill's family is obviously, at this point, they are notified, and they are just livid, they are distraught, they are unhappy, they are sad, you know, the loss is too great for them, and it's just bad. So she went to stand trial, and then she got 60 years in jail, you know, for manslaughter, murder, crime, decapitation. She got all her many, many charges. So let's get to the juicy part of this conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about stages of relationships, because I believe that many of us jump so many stages. If we are looking at the story that we just witnessed right now, all right, we could say that maybe, what did they do wrong? What did they do wrong? One, I can tell you that On the first day, you don't meet somebody at the bar and you take them home and you assume that you're going to wife that person or you're going to husband that person. You shouldn't do that, because the likelihood of somebody, especially if the other person is a pro, because I don't think that Bill in this situation is the type of guy to go to bars and pick up women. I don't think that he's the type of person, but Omaima is a pro. So if you are caught in a web with a pro, you are going to most likely fall for it. But let me tell you one thing, postpone it. Postpone going home together. Postpone going home together and take each other's numbers instead and meet tomorrow. The stages of a relationship is physical attraction. You start with physical attraction, and then you, from there, you start to converse and you start to get to know each other. You don't just jump straight to intimacy. You don't just jump straight to intimacy. And that is why most of our relationships are failing, because we are all jumping to intimacy. We don't know how to exist without intimacy. We don't know how to relationship without intimacy. We don't know how to be with somebody that we are not coitusing. We don't know. We just think that coitus is the pentacle. Some people use coitus as ammunition. Like, I'm going to give you coitus so that, you know, you stay with me. Or I'm not going to give you coitus so that you keep holding on until you get to know me better. There's this series that I'm watching, or is it live TV, Uga? There's this thing, the South African thing that I'm watching. It's Married at First Sight, right? So there are different couples and they are jumping the broom. They're just getting married straight with a complete stranger and get to know each other during the marriage already, because they all would want to be married and they all want to commit and they all want to do what and they all want to do what. So there is this particular couple. What is her name even? I only remember Palesa. So there's this particular couple, right? These two are not getting along at all. The husband is this religious guys, right? These religious men that want to, the Bible says. You know, a wife must submit. And her question is, what am I submitting to? You have also never been married. How do you know that marriage is about submission? You know, like he went into marriage thinking that this is what it's supposed to be. He has this idea of marriage and he wants to go with this idea, and he imposes and pushes his agenda onto his wife. And his wife is like a free spirited somebody. And she's also just, you know, she's her own person, and their personalities, they are so good together until they start fighting. And when they fight, you know, when they argue for real. And the arguments are the ones that are just throwing both of them off, because they come with their strong beliefs and they are putting it there. But part of the argument is that Madame wants to have coitus. Madame wants to have coitus, and the man wants to wait for 2 months. Now, I don't have a problem with anybody taking time to get to know somebody before you give yourself up. But your body tells. Your body does have a mechanism. Your body is a body. Okay. So if somebody touches you, somebody that you are attracted to, somebody that you like touches you, your body feels something. It's not disgust. It's not go away. It's not run away. It's something. And it's usually umnandi. It's nice, right? That kind of feeling that you get. So that's what we're calling the attraction, right? Now, the problem with these two is that the man, right? The man is not, he's not standing. Standing ovation. Even if they are making out, even if they're sitting on the couch, even if she's wearing booty shorts, even if she's just being seen half naked and beautiful and all of that, I'm telling you, this man is not getting hard. And that is the problem. That is the problem. So people that want to, you know, jump to the stage of bed to know if it works or not, I don't blame you, because if you have experienced something like that, you would be very cautious with who you are getting to know. And also, I believe that this is a trap that most men with erectile dysfunction do. Men that have issues, right, with the genitalia, they usually have this thing of lean onto my personality. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that also practice that. Also practice that when there is an erection. Also practice that when there's an erection also. But there is also this thing of lean onto my personality. There's this thing of get to know me. There's this thing of let's spend time together. There's this thing of fall in love with me so hard and so deep, because I'm such an amazing person. And by the time you figure out that I have erectile dysfunction, it is, you are gone too deep into the relationship, right, to want to call it quits. Women don't like to call relationships quits. They like projects. Women like projects. Women like to try and fix a man. Women like to put a man past standard. Women look at men and they're like, what can I work on this gentleman today? I think that maybe we can work on his hairline. Maybe we can work on his erectile dysfunction. Maybe we can work on his personality. Ooh, projects. Women like projects. And that is why a lot of women end up with men that have a dysfunction. Like, you know, pee-pee dysfunction. Because they feel like, oh, but we've already been together for 6 months. And that is why you find the church buddies, and the church buddies, the church guys. The church guys can wait and wait for 2 years, 3 years. And then when the relationship comes, this is it might be getting hard. It might be getting, you know, beautiful. Eh? It might be everything that you wanted to see inside your eyes, but performance, it's like a 20-second thing. Like, enters, he comes, it's done. And that, like, the coitus part becomes a problem. So, I understand for those that wanted to test the goods, want to test the goods before you commit to it. I understand those that do, but I always say that, at what cost? I believe that relationships, right? I believe that we as human beings, we need to look at relationships in a sense of forever. We should not just look at relationships for a good time, but we should look at also feeding our souls. Many of us are feeding our bodies, but we're not feeding our souls. And our souls are walking around empty, and our souls are not happy, because 90% of the time, right? We are 90% of the time we are really just physical. Our souls are not connecting. So there's the bad side of it, and then there's the good side of it. So I believe that you can wait a little bit, and I don't even know which one is the correct time frame to wait. I don't know if it's 90 days, 10 days, 20 days. I don't know, because I believed in when you think, ne? When you think, vele, this one, ne? Then do it. But if you think that this one, and then in the middle there, before you do the deed, you change your mind, and then you see a reaction, then you should know that, aha, that reaction is something that I need to note down. So, that's basically it. So, many of us are jumping straight to the coitus part, and many of us are being trapped into situationships. I recently had a conversation with a church sister, and she's like, no, my person is seeing someone else. And I'm like, oh, but why? And she says like, no, we've been together for 2 years and we have not done all those intimate stuff. You know, there's no canoodling. There's no touchy touchy. There's no those canoodling things. And he has recently started seeing, like, not seeing somebody else, but coitusing with somebody else. And she's devastated. And my question was, okay, but what are you guys waiting for? She's like, no, we're waiting for marriage. And when is this marriage going to happen? And she's like, no, maybe in the next 5 years. And I'm like, okay, so 2 down, 3 more to go. Is this something that was discussed with him as well? Or did he think that at some point you are going to give up your religious beliefs so that you can accommodate him because you love him enough? And that is what soothed her soul, because they didn't really have a conversation like that. It was more of that thing of, these companionship. She does all the wife things, you know, she cooks, she cleans, she goes, she has keys to his house, you know, she cooks, she cleans, she takes care of him like that, but they're just not intimate like that. They watch TV together. It's like brother and sister. They sleep in the same bed though. Sometimes when she sleeps over, but you know, she sleeps with, you know, Polonek and what, and he doesn't become forcey. So I was like, oh, okay. So maybe that's the problem, sister. Maybe that's the issue here. The man is starving, maybe. So we're talking about the different stages of relationships. And I'm saying that, ooh, the problem with Umaima and Bill is that they jump straight to cohabitation. They jump straight to cohabitation. And this cohabitation in itself didn't give the relationship room to grow into anything else. It just jumped straight to, let us commit to this and let us see what we are getting ourselves into as we go. Relationships typically progress through different types of stages. There are specific terms for different types of stages, and there are different numbers for different types of stages. Generally, these stages include an initial attraction, you know, and exploring phase. So you get attracted to the person. So at this point, you don't know anything about their personality. You don't know where they live. You don't know nothing. You just like what you see. And through liking what you see, this is where you get to the point of trying to explore. So exploring is you asking questions, you getting to know the person, you also asking for a number. In this modern day and age, we ask for numbers, or we DM each other on the socials or whatever. And this is followed by a deepening intimacy, and potential challenges, and ultimately a phase of commitment or long-term partnership. Right? So these are the stages. We have the physical attraction, and then we have the deepening of the intimacy. Deepening of the intimacy is jumping a level. You know, you first started talking and you first started going through, you started talking, you guys started getting to know each other. Then at the deepening part is when you guys start spending time alone and you guys, you know, start going through challenges like, hey, but who's this that's calling you? Who's this that's calling you at this time? That's when you notice now, because you guys are in each other's space. Coming together stage, right, is the intimacy. The initial, like, the coming together stage is basically the first stage, right? Initiating awareness, greeting, and basic information exchange. So, hi, how are you? My name is Elizabeth. How are you doing? You know, oh, okay. Are you from around here? Yeah. I'm from Eagle FM, and you? Like, I know, me too. I was like, oh, that's funny. I never see you at work. It's because I come there with my wife. Excuse me. Woo! We are still in recovery, guys. So this is, you know, awareness of each other. It's like you pay attention. Oh, I recognize that there's a man. Oh, I recognize there's a woman. And we start exchanging basic information with each other. And then we start experimenting, you know, exploring common interests, hobbies, and discovering compatibility. So this is in our modern day and age. We usually do the experimenting mainly through the phone with asking questions. So we ask questions like, okay, so what do you like? You know, I like walking and I like horse riding and being thrown off. You know, I like writing. I like radio, you know, and the person's like, oh yeah. So I hate music and I hate sounds. And you know, you guys start, and you're like, oh, I like that. I like the fact that you hate sounds. Because you guys downplay your existence a lot. Intensifying. Then the next one is intensifying, sharing more personal information, developing deeper intimacy, and building trust. So this is the part of the relationship where you guys start talking about, yeah, I was abused as a child. It's like, oh. Okay, but it's not something to worry about. It's only that it's one of my battles. You're like, oh, okay. Like, oh, I'm sorry that happened to you. Yeah, me too. I got bumped by a car. Oh, like that's where you guys start sharing now. Personal information. Like, oh, where do you live? And what are you doing for your life? And personal information, ladies and gentlemen, is not money, ne? Don't be sharing account details. Anwar, this is personal information. That one's private. That one is last stage. All right. Integrating. Becoming a more defined couple with shared activities and social circles. So this is the part in the relationship where you guys start. This is all part of the first stage, right? The first stage. This is the part where you guys start going out. This is the part where you guys start seeing one another. This is the part where you guys are defining, okay, so what are we going to be doing? So what are we doing? Oh, yeah, no, we're in a relationship. Oh, okay. So shared activities, what are we going to be doing? What are we doing on Saturday? You know, like, oh, no, let's go to the movies or let's go and eat. Let's go running because you guys are all running here in this Windhoek City. I don't know what kind of problems y'all are having, but we are running, eh? Apparently, woo, the marathoners, eh? Windhoek people are marathoners because they are running their problems away, my dear. All of us are obsessed with our problems and our issues. We are running. And the last one of phase one is bonding. Publicly declaring a commitment through engagement or other rituals. So this is now us bonding. And we are saying things like, this is my boyfriend. Yeah? And we are saying things like, this is my girlfriend. Now, if you have not reached that one, and you guys are still in phase one, but it's been 2 years, and this person doesn't introduce you, and this person doesn't say anything like that, then, there's a problem. Maybe you're not the boy. Maybe you're not the girl. We don't know. We don't know. And number two, the coming apart stage. This is number two, where most relationships go and die. They start off as so beautiful, so high, so up there, and then they go and die in phase two. Because this is the part where we realize that, no, she's not perfect. This is the part where we realize that he snores. This is the part where we realize that we don't want this. This is the part where we're like, how? There are challenges. Individual needs and differences become more apparent, leading to potential conflict. So, you are a person that likes to sleep until 10 o'clock, like straight. The problem is with this stage, many of us do so much in the first stage. We assume that the person that we are in cahoots with is exactly like this. But in phase two, this is where it all kind of dies down. You know, we are no longer talking until 2 a.m. in the morning. Like, now we just go sleep, right? Like, good night, good night. Yeah, we just sleep. But in the first stage, you know, we're talking all night. We're talking until sunrise and going to work tired. And we are spending all the time we can possibly get together. We're sitting at parks and we're doing all this. And the problem with this phase is that I don't know why we actually do it. Maybe it's because we are smitten, right? I would like to believe that if we just started with phase two, it would go smoother. Definitely.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM. The Eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen. So let us proceed. Let us proceed. Let us proceed. So this is the part where we start seeing, like, we become more apparent, and this leads to conflict, because now you really just sleep at your 10 o'clock, the normal 10 o'clock that you sleep, then you sleep at 10 o'clock. And this person is like, yeah, I know you change. I never see you because you're always busy doing things. Drake. And, you sleep at 10 o'clock and your partner is unhappy with the fact that you sleep at 10 o'clock because you made the person accustomed to sleeping at 4 a.m. because you guys have been on the phone the whole time. And now it's an argument because now this person's sleep pattern. And the reason that there's conflict is because, there's a mess up in the sleep pattern. So now this person is awake until 3 a.m. because they can't sleep, and you are dozing off and you are not replying to their text messages. And then this becomes like, yeah, but I don't understand. Like, why are you doing this? You know? And then you're like, yeah, but you are so needy. And then there is number two. This is number two of number two. A reduced communication and emotional distance. So this is the part, I think in the relationship, this is the part where we are all like, where we are all like, ah, no, that one is my person. You know, so I'll call them at five. And in as much as we would like to say that, ah, no, they are solid, they are what, many of us feel like, ah, this is an emotional detachment. And then we also reduce our communication. We reduce our communication, and we talk a little less because apparently we know we are stable, and we know we got each other, and we know that we are in the relationship. And this is what this is the dying phase. Literally, this is the dying phase of the relationship. Most people don't pass this stage. And that is why I say, like, let's go through this phase first, and then we can start being inside each other's bodies and on each other's bodies and touching each other's bodies. Like, let's go through this phase first, guys. Let's not jump straight into bed with people. Let us go through all the phases first before we can make sure, because there are so many people that go through relationships. Have you ever met a person that has a new boyfriend every third month or every fourth month of the year? So in a year, this person sleeps with three people. Now, if you count three people times five, let's just go to the calculator, times 5 years. Né? So in the past 5 years, this person has gone through three relationships. Every year she goes through three relationships, and this is times five. So in 5 years, she sleeps with 15 people. And let's say hypothetically, this is from the age of 23 to 28. And then she gets into one solid relationship where it was phasing out the other boyfriend. So she slept with that boyfriend, and then so we make it two boyfriends. So we plus this with two. Ne? So that's 17. And then she dates this person for like 2 years. And then after 2 years, they break up. And after that, she goes back into hermit mode. She heals herself. She's independent woman, what. And she's working very hard and what. And builds an empire, what. And then at 33 or 32, she starts dating again. And in this dating, she's very, very picky. So part of the ritual is that she sleeps with the people. So let us put this at a point of, I'm just dating, and I'm not really, I'm dating for fun. So we put this at six, and then we times this by the next, she's 32, right? Let's say 32 times the next 5 years. So at the end of her sexual journey from 23 up to 37, right? She would have slept with 75 men. That is why I say that the number game that women play, the number game is unrealistic. The number game that women put onto the pool is unrealistic, because we have to look at the duration of the relationships first. So there are some people that have only been, you know, with five people, six people, you know, seven people, because they are accustomed to being in relationships. And usually those kinds of people are also the kinds of people that don't really give up on relationships. So even when it's going really bad, they just soldier on and they hold on. And when it's going really great, they are really, really happy. And that's how it goes. So that's why I say that before we jump to physical intimacy, can we get to stage two when the butterflies have calmed down, the rose colored glasses are taken off, where we can see our partners for who they are, human beings, and not have this idea of them. So this is the part where many of the people in the dating pool right now are stuck here at this phase, the talking phase, and they reduce communication, and then they have emotional distancing, and then the next one is the relationship becomes stagnant with a little growth or development, and then the next one is physical avoiding. Avoiding is physical and emotional distance increases with attempts to avoid interaction. And then the relationship is terminated. Like literally. And this is just phase two. If you pass phase two, that's when, in phase two, that's when you can realize that this person is for you or this person is not for you. That's when you can see if this person is for you or not. Because the honeymoon phase is over. We are not smitten and mesmerized by one another anymore. So the honeymoon phase is categorized by intense romance, passion, and excitement. That's what happens in the honeymoon phase. There's so much passion, there's intensity, and also there is excitement. So you're excited to see this person. You're excited to talk to this person. You are romantically attracted. You are mesmerized by this person. And that's what happens through the honeymoon phase. And then we have the next phase, which is the power struggle conflict stage. I think that the power struggle conflict stage is one of the stages that takes a very long time. Trust me, it takes a while. It takes a while for you guys to get out of conflict because we are all standing our ground, right? We all want to be heard. We all want to be recognized. We all want to be seen. We all want to matter. And most people, if not all of us, we like to impose our beliefs and our customs onto one another. And you must do things like this or otherwise I'm not happy. And I must do things like this. Otherwise you are not happy. And that is the fighting phase, right? That's when we fight about the way you chew, the way you talk to me, the way you look at me, the way you answer me. And that's the part where we talk about it. So it's the power struggle. So there's one that wants to step on the other one, and the other one wants to emerge. And then there's one that wants to emerge, and then the other one is stepping on them. And it's a power struggle. We are all fighting for the seat. And I don't even know why we are fighting for the seat if we can all just sit on the floor. I don't know, but it does happen. So this phase is when couples face challenges and differences, testing their compatibility. So this is the part where, because in the beginning of the relationship, you guys all liked chocolate ice cream. You guys all liked yogurt. All of you guys. Like, I could eat it. I'm not really a fan of it, but I'll eat it. You know, like, why? You are lactose intolerant. Ha, guys. Lactose intolerant is a thing. You know, those people that eat dairy products and then their stomach just explodes. The whole night is just I have somebody that loves dairy products. And they have that problem. It's crazy. So this is the part where, you know, we are testing our compatibility. So all of a sudden, when we are past the honeymoon phase, you learn to decline ice cream. You know, like, nah, I won't eat it. Like, no, my stomach. I'm not eating it. But you spent the whole 3 months, eating ice cream with me. Because of what? And this is where we now start butting heads, you know, because you were eating ice cream to feel closer to me, to have commonalities, I guess, to be in, in tune with Mimos. You were trying to impress me by eating ice cream and then going to explode at home. And now all of a sudden, when you got me, you don't want to eat ice cream anymore, but ice cream used to be my thing with you. Like I envisioned this whole ice cream fountain that we are living in, and it's going to be great. And all of a sudden you're crushing my dreams. So we see there, Kuja. No, but you used to eat ice cream all the time. Yeah, I used to eat ice cream, but it was also messing me up. Like, yeah, but why didn't you just say so? Like, yeah, because I wouldn't say so. Like, yeah, so you were lying about who you are. That's where we start talking now. That's where we start talking and throwing shade. We are trying to see. So then we come to the fighting style. How do we fight? You know, how do we argue? So there's this one that just ices you, like just goes off the grid completely. Phone off, silent treatment, has not been on social media for the past couple of hours, has not been on WhatsApp, and there's nothing happening. And they're at their house and you are just left with your own thoughts. And that is now where you decide, like, is this the type of person that I want to be with? Do I want to be with a person that would leave me in my own thoughts of self-destruction? And I used to think about leaving somebody in their own thoughts. I used to think that it was the responsibility of somebody else to assist you in not thinking badly. But then along the years, I realized that just grow a pair, guys. It's not anybody's responsibility to make you not think what you are thinking. The best thing you can do, guys, I don't know how many times we'll go back. Yeah, we're trusting the process this year. I don't know how many times we're going to go back to this conversation, ladies and gentlemen. But if we lower our expectations, there's not much that can hurt us. Because we are expecting too much from people that cannot give it. We are expecting too much from people that have nothing. We are expecting too much that we can't even give ourselves. You are expecting some guy to have a house, to have a car, to have a stable job, while you were now, you don't even have a certificate. You don't even have a driver's license, let alone a learner's. You got nothing. But you are expecting somebody else's child to be exactly that, so that they can come and be your savior. And this is the part where in this stage, we're bashing each other. You know, we are recognizing what is happening here. Okay. So you're telling me that you can't come pick me up. Yeah. I'm telling you that I can't come pick you up because I've got a meeting. Yeah. But is your meeting more important than me? Like, yeah. My meeting is the one that buys the fuel for the car that's going to pick you up any other day except this one. And this is where you guys start fighting. You know, you guys start seeing where we are really placed. So the reason that this happens, ladies and gentlemen, in case you are wondering, my theory is we waste a lot of time in the first months. There's so much that breaks down while we're in Hallelujah, right? You are so smitten and so in love. You are spending 7 hours on the phone. Oh, aweta, the expire, the expire, the expire. Aturando landline, I do your parates, atu karata, tu dengara, straight parates, 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 my dear. And you are depleting the minutes. You're depleting the minutes. And we spend a lot of time on one another in the first phases, but everything around us crumbles. So if you are talking to somebody the entire night and you've got an 8 o'clock job, are you going to be productive or are you not going to be productive? If you are starting a relationship with somebody and you go to work at 9 o'clock, right? In the evening, you go to work at 9. And also another work in the morning. Are you going to be productive if you are sleeping at 10 a.m.? Are you going to be productive? Does that not mean that the whole day you sleep it off like a vampire? I believe that in phase two, the reason that there is so much distance and there's so much conflict is because we waste so much time in the first phases. In the first phase, and in the first phase, we focus all our attention on these relationships that we are in, and we give more than we should actually give. but it's because it feels nice. You know, it feels good to be wanted. It feels good to want somebody. It feels good to be communicating and talking, and it feels good. You know, it's nice. It's that happy feeling. So I understand. But then in phase two, that means your work is crumbling. Right? That means your work is crumbling. That means your relationships are crumbling. Your other relationships that are not romantic relationships. Maybe you used to take your mother to physiotherapy and you've been missing appointments because, right? Because one, you are always so tired. And then your sister steps in. So your sister now becomes the person that takes your mom to physio. But then that means that you don't spend time with your mom because you guys don't live in the same house, right? That means you don't see your mom as often as you used to. That means there is a little bit of distance between you and your mother. And then also your friends, since you are always so invested in this, in this relationship, right? You barely speak to your friends. You barely go out. You barely see each other. You barely do nothing with friends because you're so smitten, and you're also consumed by work. And if you are a parent as well, you're also consumed by parents. So every time something new comes into your life, there's something that you drop. So when a new relationship comes into your life, you drop a person. You drop a person, you drop an activity. So usually the person that is dropped, because the only thing that is less important, right, is a friend. So you can't drop your kids. You can't drop your work, and you can't drop your commitments like being a bridesmaid, or that you guys are saving what you don't drop those ones. You drop the one that is the weakest link at the table. And usually the weakest link at the table is a friend, because there's apparently nothing really that you're getting out of that relationship. It's the weakest, because the other one, you are their parent. You are supposed to be there. And the other one, it's the bread and the butter. That is like that is where you are going to, that's where you are eating from. So you can't drop that one. You can't neglect that one. And then other commitments is commitments that were done prior to this new relationship that you can't just walk away from. And that is why you keep it. So the weakest link here, in order to accommodate your relationship, in order to squeeze your relationship into the dynamics of your life, you have to give up the time and the effort and the anything that you were going to be doing with your friend, you now start doing it with your lover. And that is why friends often are very angry when their friends enter into new relationships, because new relationships have a tendency of stepping all over friendships. And yes, we want our friends to be happy, but we don't want our friends to dismiss and discard us. We want our friends to be happy. We want our friends to be in love. We want our friends to get married. We want our friends to have families. But also, we don't want to get accustomed to our friends, and then you just come out of nowhere, and then you are the knight in shining armor, and all of a sudden my friend doesn't talk to me. You know, that's what happens, and that's why some friends are so mad at you. That's why your friends are mad at you, because every time you get into a relationship, you drop them. And I think that it's very difficult to juggle. I think it's very difficult to juggle a friendship, not unless it's like long distance friendships, guys, because I've noticed that, friendships, like modern day friendships, there are people that really do things with each other. There are people that like are real friends. Like you guys see each other. You guys call each other. Like you guys talk to each other all the time. And I've seen it. You know, I used to think that was something that I had experienced in my 20s, because right now I don't have that. Right now, all I have is I've got you guys. You know, you guys are like my friends. You guys are my friends. I've got you guys, and then I've got work, and then I've got family. That's it. And the friends that I do have are also on the verge of starting their families. They're also at the point of giving birth. They're also at the point of getting married. We are all there. So it is difficult to have like the type of friendships that we had, or I had in my 20s, you know, where I call you every day and we talk and we laugh, and that we like that's just, it's not happening. And then also there's this silent rule that happens to you as you grow, that you get tired of sharing information about yourself. It's not because you are embarrassed or you are tired or it's just, you're just over it. You just get over it. And I think that in your 20s, you've got so much to say. In your 20s and your early 30s, maybe. I think that you have so much to say. That's why you can call when your boyfriend does this and your boyfriend does that. You can call and you can talk to your friend about it. And you get to a point later on, I'm guessing in your 30s, you know, where no matter what happens, you're like, you lower your expectations. You just stop talking about it. And my mom-in-law is saying that she saw there's a friend of hers that used to be in an abusive relationship. And she said that at the beginning, her friend used to talk, you know, expose Habibi, you know, like talk. And they're like, yeah, this man is doing this and this man is doing this. She would complain. And then later on, she just stopped complaining. She stopped complaining. And then she was more happier when she stopped complaining. She was more happier. She was just living her life. And then one day, you know, my mom-in-law was asking like, oh, how is, you know, Mr. Pena's? And she's like, no, he's the same. What do you mean he's the same? Like aggressive and everything is the same. Like, yeah, he's exactly the same. There's nothing that has changed. Absolutely nothing. He's exactly the same. It's like, oh, and she says that she remembers asking like, oh, okay. So I thought that because you don't talk anymore, that things must be fine. She's like, no, I just got tired of like, I'm just over it. I expect nothing. Like, he is the way he is and that's it. And I was like, oh, okay. So usually that is where we figure out compatibility. And many of us are not getting to this phase because compatibility. Many of us stuck in the struggle and the conflict phase of the relationship. But if we soldier on, because that stage could be 2 years. That stage, the honeymoon phase is prompt. It is at least, if it is a lot, it's at least 6 months. Apart from there, you jump straight into the conflict stage where you guys are compatibilities, conflict, what, challenges, struggles. That thing might last for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years even. And then you get out of it. When you get out of it, you say, thank you, Lord. And then you jump into the stability and the commitment stage. When couples navigate challenges, build trust, and make long-term commitments. That's now the fun part, right? And that fun part is the one where we are aiming for. And then there's also stage four, Vati, disillusionment, right? Adjustment phase. And this is when initial illusions fade and couples must adapt to each other's flaws and realities. This is usually when you realize, you tell yourself like, you know what? This person is like this. I'm not going to try and change them anymore because trying to change them is hurting me more than it's hurting them. I am going to accept them. And this stage is also, it's liberating. This stage is liberating because then there's nothing that's going to hurt you anymore because you are okay and you understand their flaws. So you stop complaining about the toilet seat. You know, you stop complaining about the toothpaste being squeezed in the middle. You stop complaining about their snoring because you, the person snores. What are you going to do? Eh? No. What are you going to do? Take the person for surgery for snoring. There's nothing that you can do. Eh? The person walks funny. There's nothing that you can do. It is what it is. And then the last phase is a teamwork. And then this is the wholehearted love stage. When couples collaborate on shared goals, build a strong partnership and experience deep intimacy. This is where we all want to be. This is where we all want to go. And if we can experience all of these stages and understand one another, then I think that we're going to be okay. So from me, the matriarch, I bid you guys farewell. I lure you forever and a day. And you guys are important to me, okay? So I say bye-bye and I'll see you guys tomorrow at 9.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.